Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Vav. We are starting the mission on the top of Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph here in the 22nd parak of Masechet Shabbos. The parak over here is an assortment of different topics, but the common denominator between all the topics is it has to do with food. First Mishnah, which goes back to Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, spoke about a barrel that breaks on Shabbos. The wine is coming out of the barrel, and the limits in terms of saving the wine that comes out of the barrel. The same Mishnah also talks about the Malach of Shechita. What is and is not allowed regarding the fruit, the juice that comes out of a fruit on Shabbos. The subsequent Mishnah, which is found in yesterday's daf on Kuf Mem Hayamid Beis, discusses the issue of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, when you have a food that was already cooked before Shabbos, so you're allowed to reheat it on Shabbos. Our Mishnah over here is going to be dealing with the opening of a kli on Shabbos. Mishnah starts off, Shover Adam is a chavis, a chol hemen a grogris. Person is allowed to break a barrel in order so that one can get out figs from the barrel. But what you cannot do is you cannot make a kli out of the barrel. So that means to say that you can break the barrel, but you cannot make a kli. Making a kli obviously would be a malach on Shabbos. Rashi will consistently say throughout this entire sugya that the issue is going to be tikkun mana. You are fixing a kli. Rashi is being consistent. Rashi throughout the Masechta has said, Ein binyan v'stira b'kelim, that when it comes to a kli, there is no malach of binyan, there is no malach of stira. So Rashi finds himself consistently saying throughout the Masechta that whenever dealing with a kli, so the issue is going to always be tikkun mana. Tosos has limitations in terms of the Gemara's qualification of Ein binyan v'stira b'kelim. Tosos says it's not absolute. Tosos says it depends. But nevertheless, as far as Rashi is concerned, Rashi understands it as an absolute statement, so therefore Rashi over here is therefore assuming that the malacha that one would violate if one were to make a kli would be the malacha of makeh bepatish tikkun mana. Okay, the Mishnah continues, Ein nokvi megufa shel chavis, divrei Rav Yehuda. You can't pierce a hole through the seal of a hole, meaning that the barrel got plugged in, and what you want to now do is you want to put a hole through the plug. The Mishnah brings down a machlokas. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that you cannot make a hole in the plug, and the Chachamim say that you are allowed to make a hole in the plug. The Gemara is going to qualify that machlokas. So as we get to the Gemara, we'll understand a lot better. Lo yikvena mitzida, a person's not allowed to make a hole on the side. It's not clear right now in the Mishnah if we're talking about the side of the plug or the side of the barrel. That also will be clarified in the Gemara. Lo yikvena mitzida, vim haisa nekuva, lo yitena lehashava. Now let's say the barrel had a hole in it, so what you cannot do on Shabbos, you can't take wax and you can't fill in the hole with the wax. Rashi over here in the Mishnah says that would be the malach of hamachig. That would be smoothing out, because what you would have to do is that with a thick wax, you would have to really rub it in good, and you would be smoothing on the side of it. And that's the malach of hamachig, which was one of the malachas as it relates to the leather, the working of the hide, where what you do is you're going to be rubbing the hide really hard in order to smooth out the top of the hide. And so over here with the wax, it would be the same thing. Mimneshuhu memarech, right? The Mishnah says it. I quoted Rashi, but the Mishnah really says it. I'm Rav Yehuda Ma'isa Ba'al Lifnei Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai Ba'arev Amar Choshen L'Mechatas. Rav Yehuda says that was an incident in Arev, the name of a place. And Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai says that I'm afraid that the person might in fact be in violation of an Issur D'Oraisa. And now Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai is making the statement before Churban Beis HaMikdash, after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Unclear. But still, the point is that if there was a Beis HaMikdash, even if there was a Beis HaMikdash, very well, he might have to bring a carbon chatas because the miruach is an issa deraisa, and even though we're not talking about the hide, even though we're talking about wax, but he feels that this too would also be a violation of an issa deraisa of chilul Shabbos. So a number of topics come up in the Mishnah regarding the opening of a barrel. Just if I can point you to a Tosus over here, just to highlight the basic points of Tosus. Tosus says over here, that there are different types of packaging and different types of boxes. And Tosfos makes a distinction between a box that's well-made and a box that's not well-made in terms of whether or not one is allowed to break it open. Our Mishnah obviously is of the position that you're allowed to break open the barrel in order to get to the food inside. And Tosfos says you have to balance our Gemara over here with the Gemara in Erev. And the Gemara in Erev, and Tosfos quotes on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, over there says that you're not allowed to break a barrel. The Gemara over there is a lot more detailed in terms of how the Gemara arrives at that conclusion. But you're not allowed to break a barrel. And so Tosfos makes a distinction between our Gemara over here and the Gemara over there in Erevin. Our Gemara over here is talking about a barrel that is really of poor quality. The Gemara in Erevin is talking about a barrel that's a really good quality. And so the difference lies between breaking something that's already of poor quality versus breaking something of good quality. Tosfos is extraordinarily important in terms of understanding a distinction to be made regarding when I'm allowed to open packages on Shabbos, when am I not allowed to open packages on Shabbos. So this Tosfos plays an important role in that discussion. Just one more point before we start with the Gemara, and that's a Rashi, the first Rashi in the Mishnah. As to the allowance of breaking open the barrel, so Rashi makes a statement which at face value a little bit challenging to understand, but Rashi writes, and I'll read the Rashi, Shovar Adam Chavis Malaya Grogris. Barrels filled with dates, with figs, besakin or besayif, and you're opening up with a knife, lechol mimena grogris, in order to get to the figs. Ein mekalkel shum iser Shabbos, because when destroying something, so Rashi says, ein shum iser Shabbos, there's no iser of Shabbos. Now, out of context, Rashi is very difficult to understand. Mekalkel, in terms of a destructive act, even if it's not an iser daraisa, which we've discussed already a number of times in our Masechta, but still would be an iser derabanan, right, the language that we saw earlier is mekalka bechabura pater, right? It's pater, meaning you're not violating nisa daraisa, but certainly to be nisa darabanan. Rashi to say over here that mekalka shum iser b'shabbos, mamish, there's no iser shabbos whatsoever by mekalka. So that's a very challenging statement. Out of context, certainly doesn't make sense. But Rashi is not to be taken out of context. Rashi is to be taken in context, meaning in the discussion of our Mishnah, Rashi means that there's no Isser. Now, that's certainly the sense you get from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about Lechatzchila. If you reread the first line of the Mishnah, Shover Adam is a Chavis, Lechol Heimenu Grogris, meaning a person's allowed to do it. So in the context of our Mishnah, so it would be Mutter. So probably, in other words, to understand Rashi over here, or at least to suggest a Pshat in Rashi, so over here, Mekalkel to begin with is Nisra Darabanan. Over here, the purpose of doing so is in order to get to food. There's a mitzvah on Shabbos, an Oneg Shabbos. It's a Takanas Nevi'im, right? Sefer Yeshayo. We just read the Haftorah today. So so there's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So in this context, meaning when we're talking about Mekalkel being an Issa Darabanan in the context of allowing yourself to get food on Shabbos, so in this context, so there would be no Issa Klal. So that's probably what Rashi means, if I'm allowed to suggest a Pshat in Rashi. Anyway, we begin with the Gemara Amar Rabbi Yoshia Loshanu Ela Drusos. So the Gemara's first discussion over here is regarding the knife that you're going to be using in order to cut open the barrel. So over here, you're taking a knife to cut open a barrel. So is that going to be allowed? Now, that sounds like a funny question because you're opening the barrel in order to get the food. So presumably it is allowed. However, as we're going to learn together in the Gemara, and as we already learned earlier in the Masechta, so there are various viewpoints regarding Muksa. And notably, there's a Shita Rabbi Shimon who allows, who has the greatest allowance of muksa. The Shita Rabbi Yehuda who has a narrow scope of muksa. And then there's a Shita Rabbi Nechemya. Shita Rabbi Nechemya, which we brought up a number of times, who has the most narrow scope of muksa. According to the Shita Rabbi Nechemya, even if it's something like a knife, which is clearly a kli shemalachta leheter, one is certainly allowed to cut up food on Shabbos. But according to the Shita Rabbi Nechemya, you cannot do anything else with a knife. The knife can only be used for its main purpose. Main purpose of a knife is to cut up food, and therefore you cannot use it for anything else. Mm-hmm. And so that means to say that according to Rabbi Nechemya, you would not be able to take the knife and cut open the barrel, presumably. Okay, now we don't possibly like Rabbi Nechemya, but if you were to ask Rabbi Nechemya, can I take the knife and cut open the barrel? So presumably he would say no. And so what the Gemara now is going to be addressing is there an alternative way to understand Rabbi Nechemya in the context of our Mishnah? So, to begin now with the Gemara again, I'm Rabbi Yoshia, Loshanu Ela Drusos. The Mishnah over here is only allowing the cutting open of the barrel if the figs themselves are already stuck together, and the only way that we're going to be able to eat the figs is by using the knife in order to separate the figs. Ava mifu rados. But if the figs are already separated one from the other, and I don't need the figs I don't need the knife for the figs, and the only reason why I need the knife is to cut up in the barrel, so then one is not allowed to handle the knife. Ava mifrados lo. So the Gemara says, and mifrados lo, meisfei, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? We have a braisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, maybe Adam is a chavish al yanu meitzis rosha b'sayfa, menicha lifnei orchi b'shabes ve'no choshesh. So the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, a person can take a barrel made of wine. Now wine, obviously, there's no knife necessary for wine. And you're cutting off the top of the barrel with a knife, and you're presenting the wine in front of your guests. So the only reason why you're using the knife over here is for the barrel and for no other purpose. And the Braisa says that you can do so. So the Gemara says, okay, that you're fine. You're quoting with Braisa. Hahi Rabbanan. So the Gemara says the Braisa is the sheet of the Chachamim. The sheet of the Chachamim allows for the moving of a knife for not only for food, but even for non-food purposes, as long as there's a purpose on Shabbos. Meaning the Braisa could be holding like Rabbi Yehuda, the Braisa could be holding like Rabbi Shimon, but what Rav Oshi is going to argue is that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon, but our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nechemiah. Masis and Rabbi Nechemiah. So the Gemara says, okay, our mission is going like Rabbi Nechemiah. So what we're really saying, if we could just be paused for a moment to think about the Chiddush now, what we're really making two Chiddushim over here. One, we're saying our mission is going like Rabbi Nechemiah. In a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the question, why did he have to say that? What got him to that position? Okay, so the Gemara is going to ask that question. But even before that, meaning assuming that our mission is going like Rabbi Nechemiah, so we're saying a Chiddush within Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah only allows the moving of a knife for its primary purpose, which is the cutting of food. Ah, so what we're saying as a chiddush within Rabbi Nechemiah is that if we're going to be cutting the food in a barrel, and so we're bringing the knife anyway for the food in the barrel, I can also use the knife to cut open the barrel as well. Okay, which in the world of Rabbi Nechemiah, that's a chiddush. You could have made the argument that the only thing you could do with the knife is cut open the food. But I can't cut open the barrel to cut open the food. You could have said that. So our Mishnah is now introducing a chiddush within Rabbi Nechemiah. If cutting open the barrel is helping me to get to the food, and I need the knife for the food, so therefore I could use the knife also for the barrel. Fine. A chiddush within Rabbi Nechemiah. Okay, good. That's the second chiddush. Now, as far as the first chiddush is concerned, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nechemiah. The Gemara now is going to ask the question. Umay duchid Rabbi Yoshia lu'ukmei masnisen k'Rabbi Nechemiah. Uvidrusos. Lukma b'mefuras v'rabanan. Why the need to explain our Mishnah like Rabbi Nechemiah? Can't you just simply say that our Mishnah is going like either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon, the quote-unquote more accepted positions in terms of Moksa, and you tell me that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nechemiah? What forced him into that position? Amar Rava, Masisa Kashise. So Rava says, I'll tell you what forced him into that position, because read the Mishnah, read it carefully. Mar Irya Ditani Grogoros Lusne Peros. Our Mishnah gave a very specific example of figs. Now, figs typically get stuck together, and figs typically need a knife in order to separate them. Now, why did the Mishnah choose the example of figs? Why didn't the Mishnah just simply say fruit? So Elish Mamina Abdrusas. Oh, the reason why the Mishnah chose figs is because the Mishnah is telling us that we're talking about figs that get stuck together. Why did the Mishnah elect, of all the cases to discuss, the case of figs that get stuck together? Oh, so now we're working backwards. Now that the Mishnah is talking about figs that got stuck together, there must be a halachic reason why the Mishnah chose that case. Oh, I get it. The Mishnah chose that case because we're talking about the Shita Reb Nechemiah, who therefore needs the knife in order to separate the figs. And now, since I need the knife to separate the figs, I'm also allowed to use a knife in order to open the barrel to get to those figs. Okay, so that's the Gemara's logic in terms of how we know that our Mishnah is going specifically like the Shita of Reb Nechemiah. Tanya Chada, the Gemara, is going to be teaching two brises. Brisa number one, chosalos. We have a basket made up of palm branches. Shel grogros, and in this basket are figs. Vishel tamar, more dates. So matur, mafkia, v'chotech. So in brisa number one, it says that you can, if the basket's tied together, you can untie it. If the basket is twisted together, so you can untwist it. If the basket needs to be broken, you can break the basket. Betang irach, now in another brisa, the second brisa says matir, that you can untie the basket of alo mafki, of alo chotech, but you can't untwist it, and you can't break open the basket. So, obviously, a steer between the two brises. First brisa gives allowance for any way to open, and the second brisa only allows you to untie it. So, lo kasha harabana ram nechemya. So the Gemara says, fine. But in terms of resolving the difference between these two brises, one brisa is a chachamim, the other brisa is ram nechemya. Detanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa, ram nechemya, omer, afilo tarbat, afilo talas, afilo sakin, ain nitalan ela tzarech tashmishan. Because Shita's Rav Nechemiah is that for anything on Shabbos, for any utensil on Shabbos, you can only use it for its primary purpose, and you cannot use it for any other purpose. Bar Minei, the Gemara moves on to a new discussion, and that is Bar Minei Mei Rav Sheshes, Mahu Lemivres Chavita Beburta B'Shavasa. Can a person pierce the side of the barrel with a spear on Shabbos? The Gemara over here wants to know, we're no longer chopping the top of the barrel off with a knife, but the question on the table is, can you take a spear and basically stab the barrel in order so that the wine can come out? So the Gemara says, L'pizchan k'mekamim v'asr. So either, the one way to look at it is the person's making a pesach, meaning making an opening. An opening, as we're going to learn in the bottom of our amud over here, meaning that wine can come in and wine can come out. And that would be a Nisr Daraisa. Rashi over here writes that when it comes to the making of a Pesach, so making of a Pesach would be absolutely forbidden. Rashi over here describes using a spear. The We'll come back to the Rashi in just a moment. So the lepischa kamechavim v'aser. So it's a person looking to make a Pesach. Odil malayin yafa kamechavim v'shari. And the Gemara says no, maybe not. Maybe all he's looking to do is just simply make an opening that's larger than what is already existing, meaning whatever opening is already existing within it, and basically so that the wine should come out, should pour out a little bit easier. But that's not a Pesach. That's just simply a way for wine to come out in greater quantities. This would not be necessary on Shabbos. This would be tantamount to basically breaking the top of the barrel. This is not a Pesach. So Amar lepischa kamechavim v'aser. So his response is very clear. Rav Sheshit says, no, this is a Pesach. Taking a spear and putting it into the side of a basket is tantamount to a Pesach, and therefore it would be forbidden. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges with a brayso. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, maybe Adam Chavishol Yanu Meitzes Rosh HaBesayif. So Shitas Rav Shimon Gamliel is that a person can bring a barrel of wine and cut it off with a knife. So the Gemara says, so if you're allowed to chop off the top with a knife, so this is no different, and the Gemara is suggesting now that much like one is allowed to chop off the top of the knife, one's allowed to take a spear and move it and pierce it in the side. So hasam vadelayin yafikam mechavin halchei misadelayin yafikam mechavin lepesuchei miftach. So the Gemara says, I'm not really sure that the cases are comparable. Clearly over there, if you're chopping off the top with a knife, so you're not interested in making a Pesach, clearly you're looking for a way just simply to extract the wine from the barrel. But over here, as far as taking a spear and moving it into the side, so if what your true intention is to simply get it out, so you would take a knife and you would chop off the top. Over here, by virtue of the fact that you're spearing it, it would seem to indicate that you're interested in making a Pesach. So the Gemara says the cases are not comparable, and the Gemara defends Rav Sheshit's response that it would be usher to spear it on the side. Gemara continues, Einokfim Magufa. We're going to go back to the Mishnah. And that is now putting a hole in the actual seal. So basically we're looking at some sort of plug. The barrel has a hole in it, and the hole now has it, and the hole is plugged. And the Mishnah says that regarding the actual plug, that one is not allowed to make a hole in the plug. This in the Mishnah was a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda say that it is prohibited, the Chachamim say it's mutter. And now the Gemara is going to be discussing this machlokas. Amar Rav Huna machlokas lamala. So Rav Huna says that if the plug is on the top of the barrel, that's the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Avam and Asad, every akal aser, but if it's on the side, everyone would say that it's aser. What's the difference whether the plug is on the top of the barrel or the plug is on the side of the barrel? So Rashi writes over here, we'll read the Rashi. Lamala, Berosha Magufa Hasam Hu Deshar Rabbanan, Delav Orcha Lame Eved Pizcha Hasam. It's not normal to put a plug on the top of the barrel. Elanoto kolamagufa. What you normally would do is that you would just simply take off the entire seal. So avamitzida. But if you were talking about it on the side of the barrel, zimnin davale mishum pizcha. Ve'ena rotzela paskol amala. Shalo yipol efer opsols b'yayin. So over there, if you're putting a hole on the side and on the plug on the side, so you're doing so for the purpose of a pesach. In other words, so that wine go in and out. If you wanted the wine just to come out, you would have just lopped off the top of the barrel. So right now, Rav Huna's understanding is that the entire debate is only minat sad, but if it's on the top, it'd be aser. And Rav Huna says, and I'll tell you, there's something that would support my pshat, and that is read on in the Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, after introducing us to the machlokes, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Mishnah says, "V'lo yikvena mitzida," but you're not allowed to make a hole on the side. And right now, the Gemara is assuming that when the Mishnah says you're not allowed to make a hole on the side, it's talking about on a plug on the side. So that is all the shita of Rav Huna. Rav Chista, Amar Rav Chista disagrees. Machlokes min atzad. No, the entire debate in the Mishnah is only talking about where the plug's on the side, and there Rav Yehuda's machmir and the Chachamim are mekel aval al gabah. But if we're talking about a plug that's on the top of the barrel, and you're talking about making a hole in the plug on the top of the barrel, divrei hakol mutter. Everyone would say it's mutter. Okay, and in other words, and the reason why on the top it would be mutter is Rashi writes, machlokas min atzad, hasamud dekasa Rav Yehuda mishum deika da'av delei pischa. It's only on the side that we have a discussion making a Pesach, but on the top, it's not a Pesach on the top. On the top, it's just simply a way of extracting the wine. So much like you're allowed to lop the top off with a knife, so you're also allowed to make a hole in the plug on the top as well. That's just simply not for the purposes of a Pesach. And that would be according to Rav Chista, according to everybody. And the entire debate in the Mishnah is only with the plug on the side. Hi, what about the next line in the Mishnah? The next line in the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to make a hole on the side. That's not talking about a hole in the plug, that's talking about a hole in the barrel. Well, one is not allowed to make a hole in the barrel because that would be a Pesach, like Rav Shesha said just a little bit earlier in the sugya. So putting a spear on the side would be a Pesach. So making a hole on the side of the barrel, not on the plug, but on the side of the barrel, that would also be a Pesach as well, as opposed to making a hole in the plug. So according to the Chachamim, that is not for the purposes of a Pesach. Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Inokvin Nekvechadosh b'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to make a new hole on Shabbos. We're talking about in the Kli itself. V'imba lahosif mosif. But if there already is a hole and you're just looking to add to the hole, so one can add to the hole. V'yeshomim ein mosifin. And there are those who are of the opinion that you cannot add. V'shav m'shenokvin Nekev Yashin l'chatchila. And everyone's in agreement. That once there was a hole that was already made, and all you're doing is just looking to make a hole where there already was a hole that was there, so one is allowed to do that afilu chatchila on Shabbos. Rashi says the chichozer poseach lav kaose pesachu, because if all you're doing is just reopening a hole that was already there and obviously was already plugged up, so that is not considered a pesach. Sharei asui va'omeid. Rashi explains because it's already something which was made already. Ustima solav klub. The fact that it was plugged up does not make it now as if it is a new barrel. It is viewed as just simply a seal to the hole, but the hole already exists. So reopening it is not going to be an act of making a Pesach. V'tanakama ma'ishna minekev chadash. So the Gemara says, okay, but according to the Tanakama, how is that any different than making a new hole? Deloka metakin pescha. So even if I'm adding to the hole, so isn't that also making a Pesach? Meaning the Gemara does not has a little bit of a struggle understanding the sheet of the Tanakama. Tanakama says that one is not allowed to make a new hole on Shabbos. Everyone says you're not allowed to make a new hole on Shabbos, but the Tanakama says a distinction to be made regarding making a new hole, which is aser, but Hosafa, which would be mutter. The Yeshomim says it's not mutter. Yeshomim says it's aser. So according to the Yeshomim, you can't make a hole and you can't add to a new hole. But according to the Tanakama, I can make a new hole, but I can add to an existing hole. The Gemara says I have a hard time understanding how that could be. So Amar Rava Dvar Torah Kol Pesach Shein Asur Lahachnis L'Hotzi in a Pesach. So Rava over here gives us a Yesod. The Yesod is as follows, that a Pesach that is not made as a two-way street, where the contents are going to go, the contents could go in either direction, both out of the jug or into the jug, so min ha-Torah, that is not considered a Pesach. And so therefore, the qualification of what is a Pesach by definition has to be both lahachnis ulahotzi. V'rabanu hudegazim mishom lo shel tanegolim. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, meaning, if I made it one direction also, I didn't violate nisa d'oraisa, but the Chachamim made a gzera. And the reason why they made a gzera is because of lo shel tanegolim. You make a chicken coop. And what happens is by the chicken coop, there's a need for an exhaust. You have to put a hole in the chicken coop in order to produce an exhaust. And that for sure would be an Issa Daraisa. And so therefore what the Chachamim said is that making it one directional would be usher, because if you get comfortable with that idea, you're going to make a hole in the chicken coop, and that is going to be, by definition, two directional. Da'avidli ilu yaviru lafuke hevla. So the Gemara says, because that exhaust is going to go in both directions. I call an exhaust, which sounds like one direction, but the Gemara says, but the truth of the matter is two directions. One, all the foul air is going to exhaust through that hole in the chicken coop, and also clean air is going to go in through that hole in the chicken coop. So the Chachamim said, look, even though you made a one directional hole, but what's going to end up happening is that you're going to think to yourself, oh, with the chicken coop, I'm just making a one-directional hole. But there is no one-directional hole in the chicken coop. By definition, it's two-directional. So the Chachamim made a gzera. The imba lahosif mosif asufu vadai belusha tanegolam la'asi la'asufe. So the Gemara says, now, as far as you already have a hole, now you're adding to the hole. So is there room to make a gzera in such a situation? So the Tanakam is of the opinion that no, there's no reason why a person would make such there's no reason why the Chachamim would make such a gzera, because once there already is a hole in the lul, So then, generally speaking, the hole is not increased inside. So there's never any impetus to go ahead and to expand that hole. And so therefore, there's no reason to make a gzera because it'll never get to the case of lushal tarnagolim. Mishum, as now we turn onto the top of the Amud Beis. Now why is there no expansion of the hole? Mishum rechsha. If you expand the hole of the lushal tarnagolim, so, although there's going to be a lot more airflow, at the same time, however, you're going to have rats and mice coming into the chicken coop, and they're going to attack the chickens, and you're not going to want that. So there actually is there's incentive not to enlarge the hole in the chicken coop. So if you already have a hole in the chicken coop, so no one's going to want to open that hole. So the Yeshomer made Mosif and Zimun Dolo Taknemi Karvasa Lor Chebei, and the Yeshomer are of the opinion that's true, but at the same time, however, if the hole that you made in the chicken coop was so small, and you do want to expand just a little bit, not big enough where you're going to have a rat problem, but big enough where there's actually going to be enough airflow. So sometimes you're going to want to make it larger. So the Yeshomer are of the opinion that it would lead to a case where I'm going to do an expansion on a lul, and there are occasions where the expansion of the lul is going to be done by the farmer. Okay, so so what we're looking at over here is basically gzira derabanan. In other words, the issur d'oraisa of making a Pesach has to be machnas u'motzi. By the lul, it is going to be machnas u'motzi, would be a violation of the issur d'oraisa. By a barrel, if I'm making a hole, and even though it's not machnas u'motzi, the hole's not that big, and it's not going to go in both directions, but the chachamim in gzera, that you cannot make a hole for the first time in a barrel, because even though it's not two-directional, even though it's only one-directional, but once you get comfortable with this idea, so you're going to make a hole in other structures, and you're going to make it in the chicken coop, and that's going to be nesed araisa. So there's a gzera. Fine. And then the only point of debate between the chachamim and the yeshomrim is whether or not this gzera also includes where there already exists a hole, and it's just now a question of whether a person would ever come to expand the hole. And that would be the area where there would be a machlokus as to whether gzera is made or not. Tanakam is of the opinion no gzera is made for Hosafa. And the Yeshomrim is of the opinion that there is a gzera the Rabbanim made for the case of Hosafa. The Gemara concludes on this issue. Darush Rav Nachman, Mishum Rav Yochanan, Halacha Ki Yeshomrim. And the Gemara's conclusion is that the halacha falls like the Yeshomer, meaning that there is a gzera, not only for the making of a hole on a barrel, but even for the expansion of that hole on a barrel as well. Brings us now to the next topic. So the Gemara continues, v'shav m'shenokvim nekav yashan lechatchila. If, let's say, you have a nekav yashan, you have an old hole, and one is now making a nekav in something that was already a nekev, so that you could do lechatchila. Amar Rav Yehuda, Mashmul lo shana v'ala b'makam hasui l'shamer, aval lechazik aser. So Rav Yehuda, Mashmul makes a distinction in terms of where this hole existed in the barrel. If it's only for the purposes of shmira, so then it would be mutter, but if it's for the purpose of chizuk, then it's going to be aser. Now, in terms of locations, we're going to debate exactly where the locations are, but in terms of the conceptual difference between shimur and chizuk, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, third line down. Ela b'makom d'stima zu lo nasis ela lishmor reyach hayayin. If the hole that's there is only there to preserve the aroma of the wine, shelo yetev yiskalkel, that the aroma does not escape and would hurt the quality of the wine. The kem lav stima malyasa avde la lav klumhu. So over there, the plug, just to steam up the aroma, that's not stima malyasa. It's funny because I could definitely hear an argument that would be an airtight seal, but the point is that all you're looking is to trap is just air. You're not looking to trap liquid. And so therefore that stira is not that significant, and therefore to reopen that is not going to be considered a Pesach. If, however, it's lechazek, Rashi, next Rashi, she yechazek akli shelo yete yeno. So over there, that the seal is in a location where if I take the seal out, the wine's going to come out. Hov v'stima ma'aliyasehi ki had or nakiv le'havik kiposeach lechatchila. So there, if I reopen that hole, since that hole is holding back the wine, so that is going to be a stima malyasa. That's going to be a bona fide stima. And so opening it is like making a Pesach anew, and therefore it would be aser. Now, exactly where in the barrel are we talking about? So you could probably guess already, at least the first shita, Amar of Chista, sorry, Heichidam lechazek, so Heichidam leshamer, Heichidam lechazek. So the Gemara wants to know, where exactly in the barrel are we talking about? So Amar of Chista, l'malam mina yayin zeh leshamer, l'matam mina yayin zeh lechazek. So Rashi really set us up for Rav Chista's distinction. if the hole is above where the wine actually is, so all you have over there is just simply the aroma of the wine, so that's an area of Lashamir. If, however, the hole is below the barrel, below the wine, meaning it's where there is wine in the barrel, so that's going to be Lechazik. Rava, Amar Lamata Minayin Nami Zehu Lashamir Rava, is actually going to be more Mekel. Rava says, even if it's below the wine, where the wine is, meaning that if I were to open it up, wine would come out. That too is also considered Lashamir. So then what is the area of Lechazik? It's so low on the barrel, that's where the sediment is. That's the place of Shimur. So according to Rava now, so if let's say the hole is anywhere on the barrel, aside from where the sediments are, and there's already a hole over there, and it's just a seal, so one can open up that seal on Shabbos. If it's the area of the sediment, according to Rava, so then you cannot open up because that's Stima Malyasa. Amalei Abba L'Rava Tanya D'Mesayelach. So Abai says to Rava, so look, I'm going to support you, and I'm going to support you with a Braisa. Braisa over here now is going to be talking about a door where the door was filled in, and at what point in time does it lose the status of being a door? Now, over here, seemingly, this is not at all connected to our discussion over here, because we're going to be talking about halachas of division of a chaser. We're going to be talking about halachas of tum and tahara. And so it certainly is going to sound like we are going a little bit off topic, but nevertheless, as we're going to bring it back over here to our discussion, we're basically talking about a stima. We're talking about the closing of an opening. And so it is connected to our topic because we're talking about the Asiyas HaPesach. And so over here, we're talking about a Pesach in the most literal sense. We're talking about an actual doorway. So the first halacha we're going to be talking about is the separation of a chatzer, the division of a chatzer. You have multiple houses open up to one chatzer, and now the members of the chatzer want to divide the chatzer. So this is one of the first topics of discussion in the Gemara in Baba Basra. And the Gemara over there says that in terms of the division of the chatzer, so the first thing that's going to get divided is everyone's doorway. And that means to say that the width of your doorway going out into the chatzer for amos, so that will be given to the owner of that door. And if a person has a house that, let's say, has two doors open up to the chatzer, so he's going to be given two of those areas. If he has four doors, he's going to be given four of the areas. And so, by sasum, yesh lo arba amos. So the Braisa tells us in Baba Basra that if, let's say, the door is sealed, but still that person has arba amos, meaning even though it's a sealed door, and nevertheless, it's considered four amos. It's considered a doorway, and so therefore he's given the four amos of the chatzer. Paris says, Pitzima vein lo dal amos. However, let's say the doorposts are removed, so not only is the doorway sealed, but there's no longer any doorposts. There's no lentil, there's no doorpost. At that point in time now, the door is totally removed halachically, and it's at that point in time, and only at that point in time, that he no longer has the four amos in front of that doorway, because it's just simply no longer a doorway. By sasam, in a matame kol svivav, Paris says, Pitzima matame kol svivav. And another halacha, and that is the following. We know that the halacha is that if a person is buried in a house, or if a person, let's say, if a person is buried in a house, or if the mace is in the house itself, so the, as far as tumah is concerned, tumah is in the house, throughout the entirety of the house, meaning under the entire roofed area of the house. But once you go outside the house, even a moment outside the house, even a foot outside the house, the person's not going to be tumah, because obviously he's no longer under the same roof. However, there's a halacha of what's called a kever, meaning once the house qualifies as a kever. Now, a kever means basically that it is an edifice. It's a building that has no doorways whatsoever. So now the house no longer has the status of being a bais, but now has the status of being a kever. What's the halacha regarding a kever? The halacha is that not only is the kever going to be tameh, but four amos outside the kever, along the entire perimeter of that kever, also is going to be an area of tumah as well. Rashi describes it as a din de rabbanan, but still, this is the halacha of kever. So again, it's the same halacha, I mean, in terms of the doorway. Let's say the doorway is filled in, but you still have the door posts around it. So then, kol svivav, so enam atame kol svivav. So the area immediately outside the house is not going to be tame. However, pirates is pitsimav, but once the door posts are taken away, mitame kol svivav, the entire outside area is now going to be tame. Four amos outside. And so, over here, how is this going to be all the support for Rava? Because what we have over here is this idea that the doorway still has the status of being a doorway even after the doorway is filled in. It still is going to have the status of being a doorway. So, similar to Rava's idea, is that when I sealed in the wine and I sealed in the barrel, and even though it's in the area around the wine, it still has the status of being a Pesach. It still has the status of being a doorway. And so only when you get to the very bottom by the dregs, then and only then does it lose its status. But anything above that, it's going to have the status of being a Pesach, a doorway, even after it's sealed in. So these two halachas are in fact supportive of Rava. The Gemara moves on to another topic, gufta. So over here we're talking about placing a spout in the hole. So Rav Asher Shmuel Shari, so the Gemara brings a machlokas on Marayim, Rav and Shmuel, whether or not it would be allowed. So the Gemara now qualifies the machlokas, mechatek lechatkila dukhalem alo plige, to cut now the spout to size. So that, according to everybody, is going to be Asher. Ahadure, if what all you're doing is just returning the spout to the plug to call him a lo pligi, to shari, that for sure is going to be mutter according to everyone. He pligi de chaticha v'lo metakna. Let's say the spout area is cut, but at the same time it's not cut to size. And what you're going to do over here is you're going to cut it to size. Manda aser gazrin and domasa lemechtach lechatchila. So the one that says it's aser, once you get into the habit of cutting it to size, so then a person would cut it even lechatchila. And the one that says it's mutter does not make a gzera ketanai. The Gemara points out this was also a machlokis tanaim. Ein chochin shvafers b'yom tov. Vein tzarech lomer b'shabbos. One is not allowed to cut a tube on yontov, and it goes without saying one's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Nafla, however, if it falls out, machzir nosav b'shabbos. Vein tzarech lomer b'yom tov. Rav Yeshua mekel. And if it falls out, you can return it on Shabbos, and it goes without saying on yontov. And Rav Yoshia is mekel. Rav Yoshia is mekel on what? So that's exactly the Gemara's question. Rav Yoshua Ahaya Ilema Reisha Hakamataki Mana. It can't be that Rav Yoshua is Makel on the first case of the Brisa where you're not allowed to cut the tube. And Rav Yoshua says, no, you are allowed to cut the tube. The Gemara says it can't be. That certainly is Tikkun Mana. So Ella Seifa. So it must be that he's arguing on the Seifa, but he's not arguing on the Seifa. Tanakama Nami Mishra Kashari, because the Tanakama said that if it fell out, you're allowed to put it back in. And Rav Yoshua says, I'm going to be Makel. How can you be more Makel than the Tanakama, who allows you to put it back in? So Ella de Chaticha v'lo Metachnika by now. So the Gemara says no. The Rav Yoshia is arguing on a case which is not perfectly articulated in the Braisa, but we're reading it into the Braisa, and that is the case in which the tube is already cut, but it's not cut perfectly to size. Mansa v'gazrina, mansa v'lo gazrina. And the question is that if we allow a little bit of trimming over there, so then would one lechatchila cut the next tube? And so is Xera in force over here? And the Gemara says that's the machlokas. Darish Rav Shisha Berei de Rav Ivi Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Halacha Rav Yoshia. The halacha is in fact like Rav Yoshia, which means to say that if the plug is already cut and all you're doing is just trimming it down just a little bit, so one is allowed to do that on Shabbos and on Yontav. V'im Haisa Nekuva. Now if there's a hole, so we're talking about now resealing the barrel Mishcha. Now let's say it's a really heavy oil, it's a thick oil. Rav Asher Shmuel Shari, this also is a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in terms of whether or not you're allowed to take this thick oil in order to put it into the hole, in order to seal the hole. Manda Asher Gazrin Mishim Shava. Now, even though the thick oil is still, it's very viscous, but at the same time, it's oil. But once you get into the habit of using the thick oil, the next step is that you're going to use Shava, you're going to use the wax, which we already pointed out. That's Mimarech, and that you're absolutely not allowed to do. That's an Issa Daraisa. Uman Deshari Lo Gazrin, and the one that says Mutter feels that there's no Gzera to make, one's not going to confuse the thick oil and the wax. So Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Chana Le Rav Yosef Befer Shamar Lam Mishmei De Rav Mishcha Shari. So it was said explicitly in the name of Rav that using the thick oil would be mutter. Meaning, although it was reported originally that Rav said that it's Usser, but he feels that Beferish, Rav said that it's mutter, and apparently there was a question of what exactly Rav said, but the Gemara seems to be pretty clear on this last point that Rav in fact said that it was mutter. Amar tvos rishba, amar shmuel, haitarfa da aser aser. The Gemara now talks about using a leaf of a hadas and whether or not one could use a leaf of a hadas. How are you using the leaf of a hadas? Rashi writes over here, Tarfa da'asa, laseis alei shel hadas, b'nekev hachavis, taking the leaf of a hadas and putting it into the hole of the barrel, sheha alei asui kamar zev. Well, basically, it looks like a gutter. In other words, the wine could flow through the leaf. V'hayayin zav derech sham, and the wine's going to flow there. And so, can you do that? Now, the leaf, obviously, on Shabbos, would be a muktzah item, meaning it's not a kli. meaning you're using it as a kli, but it's not a kli. I guess what you would have to say over here is that it was prepared before Shabbos to be used on Shabbos. Okay? As a suggestion. Anyway, so the Gemara says, in the name of Shmuel, that you're not allowed to use it. My time, Rav Yemer, Medifti, Amr, Gzera, Mishum, Marzev. Once you get into this idea that I'm using something like a leaf as a gutter, so then it might come on Shabbos to make a gutter. Rav Ashi, Amr, Gzera, Shem, Yiktom. And Rav Ashi says, no, that's not the, there is a Gzera, but that's not the Gzera. The Gzera is that the leaf is not the right size, and you might cut it to size. So, my binah, you can binah, dekatu, mamanchet. The Gemara says, the difference would be, let's say the leaf is already cut to size. So in terms of the gzera being, you're going to end up cutting it to size, but this leaf is already cut to size. If the gzera is, then I'm going to make a marzev, so that gzera still is in effect. Beisaja, the Gemara now talks about a felt garment, right? Levadim, Rashi says, shekorn felt, v'asuin lekaplan tachta b'makom hakaro kesas. Now it's such a thick garment, basically it was used for sitting on. But in this particular case, the person is using it as some sort of wrap, to wrap around his body. Rav Asur Shmuel Sharei. And now we have a machlokas. So here too is Rav and Shmuel. Now, you probably noticed these last debates over here, totally unrelated to our discussion in the Mishnah and the Gemara, but the machlokas is Rav and Shmuel, and I guess just because we have other, these are short machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel, so the editor, Ravina Ravashi, put in over here at this point in the Gemara. But seemingly, this, of course, has nothing to do with what we've been discussing. Anyway, so this thick felt, so machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. Now, berach and dekulam alo pligi deshari. Now, if it's soft felt, so then it's clothing, and then it would be mutter. Bikash and dekulam alo pligi deaser. Now, if it's really hard, then it would be aser. Aser meaning in this case that it can't be viewed as clothing. And if it can't be viewed as clothing, so then we're going out with it on Shabbos, that would be a violation of otsah. So keep ligi b'mitzah. So the Gemara says, so it's somewhere between soft and hard. And obviously, it'd be much better, much more understandable if we had different swatches and we knew what they considered soft, what they considered hard, and then obviously we would know where the middle ground lies. But anyway, so manda asa mechzi kamasui, manda sharlo mechzi kamasui. So the one that says that it's asa because it looks like a burden, the one that says mutter says it doesn't look like a burden, seemingly a very straightforward way to explain the machlokis, although, again, it's just a question of perception. Now the Gemara says, now Rav's position was never clearly articulated, but we inducted his position based on an episode. Rav went to a certain town, there was just no space in the base medrash. So they had to go outside, and the area that they chose was a Carmelis area. So they brought the Beisajah outside, and he did not sit on it. So man de chaza savar mishon de beisaja aser, and the reason why he did not, at least the reason why people thought he didn't sit on it, is because now was transported through a carmelis, and he felt that it went through chilul Shabbos, even though walking through a carmelis, going through a carmelis would be nisa de rabbanim, but still it's chilul Shabbos, and therefore he didn't want to get benefit from it. Velo yiba, the Gemara says no. In other words, people who saw the episode, they misinterpreted the episode. In fact, Rav said that it's mutter. But it's only because of the kavod of the Chacham and Man Inu Rav Kahan Rav Asi. Notably, the Chacham and Rav Kahan Rav Asi, meaning that they were talmidim, but Rashi describes them as being a talmid chaver. They were students and colleagues. They were somewhere in between being a student and a colleague. And so he felt that it was not appropriate that he should be sitting on something and they're going to be sitting on the floor. And meanwhile, they're a talmid chaver. And so he felt that out of respect for them, So he's not going to be sitting on something, an elevated place where his chaverim are going to be sitting on the floor. It gives us an opportunity to chazer the daf. Just as a quick review, we saw the Mishnah regarding the opening of kalim in order to get food on Shabbos. If you're going to destroy the kli in order to get to the food, the Mishnah says that's great. That would be perfectly mutter on Shabbos. We went over the lashon of Rashi. Rashi says ain b'makalkel shum iser b'Shabbos. There's no iser Shabbos when it comes to makalkel. But I think the right way to understand Rashi is in the context of our discussion, meaning where you're getting to food, and under those circumstances, Mekalka, which generally speaking would be Issur Derabbanan, and over here the Chachamim waved it all together. I think that's a fair reading of Rashi, but again, certainly open to their other possible ways to read Rashi. Tosfos over here, we highlighted Tosfos, Just highlight it again. Tosa says there are different types of kelim. The kli in our Mishnah is talking about of an inferior quality, but if it's a kli that is of a superior quality, so then you can't even break it open. Based on the Gemara in Erevin, Tosa says basically there are different types of kelim. Some you're allowed to open, some you're not allowed to open. Obviously, with Tosos in mind, so that would make a difference in terms of opening packages on Shabbos, depending on the type of package that we're talking about. The Mishnah also talks about not making a hole in the seal in the seal on the barrel. Although this too is subject to a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, not making a hole in the side, and if there is a hole, not putting wax in that area, because if you put wax in that area, so that would be a violation of memareach. The first discussion the Gemara had was regarding the usage of the knife, where according to Reb Nechemya, you are only allowed to use knife to cut open the food, and our Mishnah is following the Shita of Reb Nechemya. The Gemara explains why we know that our Mishnah is following the Shita of Reb Nechemya, but the Chiddush being that, assuming that our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Reb Nechemya, you can only move the knife for the cutting of the food. Reb Nechemya allows for just a little more of an allowance than that. You can use the same knife to cut open the barrel in order to get to the food that you're going to use to cut open the food. In terms of spearing the side of the barrel, continuing in our review, spearing the side of the barrel, the Gemara wants to know if this is considered making a Pesach, or is this just simply allowing for more wine to come out? Gemara's conclusion is that this is making a Pesach. In terms of making a hole in the seal, there is a distinction to be made whether the seal is on the top of the barrel, on the bottom of the barrel, or on the side of the barrel. The Gemara goes with Rav Chista, which is that if you're making a hole in the seal on the top of the barrel, that l'kuli alma, that everyone would say is mutter. It's only when you're making it on the side of the barrel where you have a machlokes between the between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. We learn at the bottom of the Amud, on the Amud Aleph, what kind of hole is usher min haTorah? That is a hole that is machnis umotzi, where it is going to go in both directions. The items are going to pass through in both directions. If the hole is only one directional, one is not violating an Isser Daraisa. There would still be an Isser Darabanan if the hole is one directional. And now it's just a question of what is the scope of that Isser Darabanan. To make a hole anew, that would be an Isser Darabanan. To expand a hole, Machlok is Tanaim, whether that also is included within the Isser Darabanan. You have a plugged area, and now you want to unplug the area. So the Gemara made a distinction of whether or not that the area is l'shamer l'chazek. L'shamer would be mutter, l'chazek would be aser. Exactly what are the parameters of l'shamer l'chazek? So that was the debate between Rav Chista and Rava. Abai supported Rava based on a Mishnah in Baba Basra. Taking a spout and putting it in the hole. So Rav and Shmuel debate that very issue. Cutting the spout for sure is going to be an Issa Daraisa, cutting it l'chatchila. Returning a spout back to the hole is for sure going to be mutter. The debate is only regarding where the spout is already cut, but it just needs a little bit of trimming. Would that be okay? That's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara notes this too is a machlokas between the Tanaim. The Gemara continues with a discussion of smearing a heavy oil onto the plug. Rav and Shmuel debate that as well. The Gemara has a debate in terms of what exactly Rav's position is on this matter. The Gemara seemingly concludes that Rav says that it's mutter, seemingly. Second to last topic is making a makeshift spout out of a leaf of a hadas. That too is going to be a machlokas whether or not one's allowed to do that. In of itself, that would be fine. It's a gzera. Maybe you'll make another spout, or maybe you're going to cut the leaf down to size. And finally, the last topic we discussed today was a moderately heavy felt garment. Whether or not that's considered a masui, or whether or not it's not considered a masui. If it's really heavy, that's for sure considered a masui. It's not considered clothing. If it's a light felt, that could be viewed as clothing. But if it's something in between, machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether or not that's going to be viewed as clothing. And even Rav's position was not stated explicitly. It was only implicit based on an action. But the Gemara says, but you misinterpreted the action.